Morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to be together as we slowly make our way towards spring, believe it or not. We will draw a conclusion to the series that we've been thinking about on the theme of together in a message I've titled Dreaming Together. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at the book of Haggai, chapter 2. We'll look at actually, just to get started, verses 1 through 3, but we'll look actually at most of that chapter, at least the first 9 verses. So Haggai chapter 2, dreaming together. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? I'm going to share 4 things this morning, whether you're watching home via live stream, whether you're here in one of our 2 services. We talk about the danger of past glory. Secondly, the dream of renewed glory. Thirdly, the invitation to new glory and the promise of future glory. The danger, the dream, the invitation, the promise. Haggai ministered to God's people, the Jewish people, after they had returned to Israel, to Judea, after 70 years of experiencing the discipline and the hand of God in something called the exile. Their nation was destroyed. The land was occupied. The upper class, the educated, the professionals were literally stripped away from their homes and brought into Babylon. And you read the lamentations, you read the words of lament, their hearts are absolutely broken for an entire generation. We are the people of God, how could this have happened to us? It's weeping, it's tears, and we would do well to sit in some of their prayers and cries during those painful years. And most painfully, the glorious temple that the son of David, Solomon, built was razed to the ground. After the Babylonians, the Persians came under world domination, and Cyrus the Great took over the world stage as the global superpower, overcame Babylon, and eventually they were allowed to return back, and they quickly rebuilt the foundations of the temple. But they became very discouraged. A lot of the surrounding communities remember the glory days of Israel, and they objected, they complained to the government, they discouraged people, they scared them, and so they stopped building, as many of you are familiar with. And they began to just focus on their own families. They began to focus on building up their homes and making it nicer and more comfortable. Nothing wrong with that. But to the neglect of rebuilding the temple of God where worship was to take place. In verse 3, we see the heart of what the prophet is trying to address. He's addressing the older generation, of course, the younger as well, but those that were alive 70 years earlier who remembered, who worshiped at the Solomonic temple in all its beauty and glory. He says, how does it seem? How does it look to you now for those who saw this in its former glory? Does it not seem to you like nothing? And indeed, he touched a chord. Yes, with their physical eyes, they remember worshiping. Here's an artist's depiction of what the Solomonic temple could have looked like. We would have Instagrammed it ad nauseum if we had a chance to visit it. It was spectacular, breathtaking, glorious. a building of all buildings where the God of Israel will be worshiped in the splendor and glory. And after it was totally razed to the ground and destroyed by the Babylonians, there was nothing left. They came back and they worked on the foundation and then they stopped. And he's asking them the question, do you remember the past glory of the temple in Jerusalem where we used to worship God? How does it look to you now? And it struck such a deep chord because they remembered that past glory and it broke their hearts. Haggai, through his preaching, understands our propensity as human beings to not live in the present, to not think about the future, and often we dwell and we're stuck in the past, especially if it was a glorious past. My parents arrived in New York City over half a century ago. I'm not sure if this is one of the New York City airports. For you East Coasters, you probably can tell me better. My dad looks pretty good, huh? Look at my mom. I've never seen that hairstyle in her since. I don't know if that's a beehive or what that is, in the late 60s. And look at those cars. Amazing. They had all their dreams. They didn't have children yet at the time. They just arrived fresh off the plane to begin their new immigrant journey here in the United States. It was an exciting time for them. They were allowed to dream. They had no money, they had nothing, couldn't speak English, but they arrived in America to begin a new life, and they were young and vibrant. My dad had a promising career ahead of him with a few more years of study. My mom left all of her family, all of her friends, and yet they began to dream together of what a new life could be starting in America. All of us have seasons, whether we look at our parents or grandparents or ourselves, and remember the glory days. Even for Kathy and I, not too long ago, we could think about our early years, pre-children. Do you ever notice what happens after you have kids? My goodness, it changes you. I think Kathy looks far better than me. My goodness, glorious. We all have times in our lives and seasons where we reflect back into the past. But the danger is, and this is what Haggai is trying to do with the nation of Israel after they've been through hell and back, and now they're back in Jerusalem, now they're trying to imagine what life could be like, but they couldn't get past what the temple used to look like, what it was like in the glory days of Israel before the Babylonians came as punishment, as discipline from the hand of God himself. And so Haggai's addressing that specifically. There is a danger of often living in the past, clinging to the past, glorifying the past. We see with rose-colored glasses, it wasn't actually that great, but as the years tick by, we make it great in our minds. And the danger of that is often we can't move forward in our lives because we are stuck. We've created a monument of stone with former glory, and we forget that God's Spirit is always doing, and let me phrase it this way, he's doing the same thing, but in new and different ways. He's increasing his kingdom. He's inviting people to journey with him. He's willing to give us a new life, cleanse us, redeem us, heal us, renew us. That hasn't changed, but the ways in which he does it does. The danger of past glory. And we know it. We cling to the past, whether you've been alive for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 80 years. All of us, it's human nature, clings to the past. Because of fear, because of pain, because of wounds, because of the uncertainty of what the future holds. It is disruptive. And this is what the Israelites are going through. After 70 years of exile, they return back. They remember the glory of the temple. They remember the glory of that relationship they had with the Lord as his chosen people. And yet, here they were before ruins. Just a foundation that had been built. And they didn't get busy rebuilding the temple of God, which was very indicative of their relationship with the Lord. They were busy building their own houses, paneling, making more luxurious, comfortable, and yet the house of the Lord remained in ruins. We all know that the past glories is a glory that is fading, and so in our hearts as human beings, whether you are a Christ follower or not, listen what Haggai says. Now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Verse 4, be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. It's not just to the Israelite priests, the leaders, the government officials. It's to all Israelites. Be strong and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. God's word doesn't change. The promise that they would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth, given to Abraham, given to the Israelites, even during their time as slaves in Egypt, that did not change. When God makes a promise, a covenant, it is sure to happen. We can bank on it. And he goes back to them. Remember that promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And so we look at our lives. We see the fading glory. And all of us as human beings want to recapture that. Secondly, we dream of a renewed glory. I saw this very clearly. I'm a little bit late to the party, but I'm finally watching The Last Dance, ESPN's. Oh, I can't, my wife's like, what is the matter with you? You're not that great of a basketball fan. I can't stop watching it on Netflix. Following the Chicago Bulls' greatest success story of the 90s. I don't know if New Englanders were following the Bulls, if you were alive and you were old enough back then in the 90s, one of the NBA greatest dynasties, winning a total of 6 NBA championships, 2 three-peats. I don't know why Michael Jordan went to try to play baseball with the White Sox. Crazy. But as you watch this documentary, and he's much older, obviously, and has a cigar in his hand and reflecting, you could see the fire in his eyes of those days in the 90s when they were the world champions. Former glory. Someone like Michael Jordan, his desire, his competitiveness, his athleticism that was demonstrated in his prime years, obviously, as he's heading toward, I believe, 60s, has to look back in the past for his glory days. Every time I see a picture of the Chicago Bulls dream team composed of Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, and Michael Jordan, I think here is with Ron Harper and Tony Kukoc, my heart kind of flutters and skips a beat because I remember the Bulls from those days. The things that Michael Jordan could do, even I believe this was a slam dunk contest. Unbelievable fly Air Jordan. We know that the past that we think about that is often in our minds glorious was wonderful and great. And all of us, in some shape or form, desire to return back to relive our former glory days. I saw this in me when we were visiting one of our church members, and my daughter picked up the Michael Jackson Thriller album. Anyone listen to that like me? My goodness. Oh, that was amazing. Glory days of my younger years. All of us have that, whether it was in the 80s or 90s or the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or the 2000s or 2010s. We often surround ourselves with those from our glory days, and we can remain frozen in time. That is the danger. And I'm not just talking to our elderly or those over 65, any of us. That was the danger the Israelites could have been stuck in. And Haggai, through his preaching, is saying, God is doing something new and different. Will you be able to move forward in your lives, O Israel? The same thing, but in new and different ways. He encourages the leaders, ordinary people, would not be in their own strength. You can do it. I am with you. My spirit is with you. And my promises I made to you, the covenants, are sure as gold. It will happen, my precious children. So move on into the future. Do not be afraid. I am with you. You are not alone. Do not be afraid. God gives his word, his spirit, and the very evidence that they stand before the ruins of the old temple shows that God is at work. They couldn't see it. The very fact that they left their exile and they were back in the land shows that God was at work, but they were so broken over the ruins of the temple, thinking of the past, they couldn't even see that. Our clinging to past glory often makes it very difficult to see where God is at work powerfully today and where he wants to lead us into the future. And so God reminds them, verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. God is reaching out tenderly to his people and saying, I invite you into a new glory, O children of Israel. I invite you to experience a new glory, something that is so magnificent, something that is earth-shattering, that would shake the heavens and the earth. I am preparing to do something new that will even far surpass the glories of Solomon's temple and that time of great prosperity and blessing. It will blow that out of the water. Are you ready? My sons and daughters, God says. I believe that this was initially fulfilled in the punishment against the Persian Empire by Alexander the Great. But it would ultimately be fulfilled in the true king of all the nations who would be sent to earth. God reminds his people as they stand before thinking and are trapped in their past glory. They can't embrace the present. They can't move in toward the future. God is telling them, I am with you. My spirit is with you. My promises have not changed. The silver is mine, verse 8. The gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Here, Jerusalem, the temple remains in ruins. And the word of God comes to people that cannot move past the past glory of a previous lifetime during the age of Solomon. And God says, the glory of this house will be far greater than the glory of the Solomonic temple. You wait and see. And we know that this will be fulfilled not in the same exact way of rebuilding a physical building, but it was Jesus' entrance into our world, the temple of his body. And we just celebrated Advent, and we are reminded in Luke 2, in this beautiful painting of Simeon and Anna seeing this infant Jesus. He came in spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took up in his arms and blessed God, He's talking about Simeon and saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Listen to this, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. God is going to shake the nations once again. The new temple will be far glorious than even the most spectacular Solomonic temple, the past glory that they could remember, because now the glory of God will be found in the person of Jesus. God would shake the nations indeed. He owns it all. There is no financial constraints because God owns all the silver, all the gold. It will happen. It's as good as his word. He promises it, it will happen. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Not in the same way of building a more beautiful building, but in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, coming to earth. And that is invitation that all of us are being invited to. And that's my last point, the promise of future glory. This new glorious presence of God would not be a physical building built with human hands and lumber and timber and stone, but would be the temple of a human body. The incarnation, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, born into our world. And listen to Israel. I am with you, Haggai says. God says to Haggai, I am with you. And Jesus, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God is with us, Emmanuel. That is the key to experiencing true glory. It is when the desired of the nations comes and enters in, he brings his glory, even if it's a smaller, diminished building, even if it's an aging bones and body, with health issues and problems. Whatever it is that we experience that is a diminished glory from the past, Jesus is able to fill us with his glory when he comes to dwell once again within. Paul says this, so we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That is the invitation of the gospel, that no matter how much we hold on to the glories of our past, God offers us a true everlasting glory by giving his very own glory to us in the person of Jesus. And so whether it's in my own family, over 50 years ago, my parents coming with nothing to, yes, having four kids, their four daughter-in-law, son-in-laws, 10 grandchildren. It's not that 50 years plus later, but it is that all the children and grandchildren do love Jesus and we want to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Increasing glory. I think about Trinity Covenant Church with a long history and past. I've not yet been inside the Spruce Street Church building that we were located in for many years. And our church was a lot smaller before they built the additions, but we have had a glorious past, indeed. And whether it be the outreaches to the community, in the Christmas musical, whether it be great leaders and pastors, I wish I could have known Norm Swenson, pastor here from 1967 to 1993, if I have my research correct. And over the years, and I'm sorry that I'm in a lot of these, next slide, it's just the pictures that I was able to grab, whether it be a Frank Riley, a Phil Beatty and his wife Jen, whether it be Steve, Alan Hurl, even Jim McLaren, Pastor Phil Atkinson, Peter Tolson. Many of you have been deeply touched and impacted in positive ways through the lives and ministries of these leaders, pastors, and there are many, many others I did not have time and room to display on here. And there were times where you didn't think it could get any better. For the gospel reminds us, as we think about the future, I believe that we can experience even a greater glory than in days past as a church, even through the ravages of this pandemic, our financial challenges that we have. We have to regather a lot of our people that have drifted away. These are very difficult times, but I believe with all my heart that if we concentrate not on just the physical building, the programs, and the metrics that often a church uses to gauge success, but if we can invite the Lord of glory back into our hearts, our presence, our worship, everything else will fall into place. May that be the challenge as we look at our lives and all the fading glories around. May we be reminded that as we age, as our health declines, as all of our achievements from our younger years begins to all be in the past rearview mirror, the greatest days are ahead. When we truly trust and believe the gospel and invite the indwelling presence of Jesus in all his glory and splendor to rule and fill and empower our lives. If we are able to concentrate on that and cry out to him with desperation, he will fill this house with greater glory than what we have seen in the past. And like the hymn writer, "Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nations, O thou God and Son, man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown, beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise and adoration, now forever more be thine." Let's pray. Lord, we confessed this morning that all of our beauty, our health, our strength, our careers, no matter how stunning we once were, how great our achievements were or will be, all will be fading glories. But we thank you that the gospel invites us to experience one glory that allows us to dream again for our own lives, the stories of our families, and for Trinity Covenant Church. And so I pray that we would believe on you again. May we indeed cry out, "You are our soul's glory, joy, and crown." Enter once again, King Jesus, and bring your glory back into our lives and to our church, that we would experience an ever-increasing glory. Lord, if I've never invited you in to experience your beauty, your glory, I receive you into my life as the Lord of glory and Savior. If you've never done that, invite him in the midst of your fading glory, tainted by our sin. He is willing to take that upon himself in exchange for his beauty and glory. Lord, thank you. I receive you by faith. Enter into my life. Cleanse me. And bring your glory that I can bring you glory. In the name of Jesus.